Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You guys know that Steven Spector, the boss man, sometimes he's itching to get these takes off. And I support it. I don't ever want you guys to think that I see the show as just me. It's not just me. Rob's a major part of the show. You guys are a major part of the show. Spector is. It's all of us. It's like one big group project. So when Spec has a take and he says, hey, I want to share this with you guys, who am I to turn him away? He's the boss man. So he hopped in the studio with some thoughts, and I want to play it for you. Here's this week's edition of Spec Says.
All right, guys. Following the announcement that Salvador Perez has now signed a two-year extension with the Royals, it kind of got me thinking that in this current generation, this golden era of Kansas City sports, which I would consider, you know, October of 2014 to now, I think it's pretty likely that Travis Kelce and Salvador Perez will be the only guys in this generation that will start and end their careers with the Royals and Chiefs, respectively. I think it's obviously pretty clear that Salvi now, two more years, calls it quits after 2027, makes a lot of sense. Travis Kelce, we've been talking about his retirement for last year, potentially this being last year. Maybe he plays one more year. Regardless, I think we're all in agreement that Travis Kelce was drafted in 2013 by the Chiefs and will finish his career as a Kansas City Chief. But I think those are the only two. We've seen the history of quarterbacks in the NFL. Rarely do they play from start to finish with one organization. Rodgers, Favre, Manning, Brady. You just don't see it a lot at that position. Is Chris Jones going to be a Chief for the next 3 to 4 years? I would bet against it. Hosmer, Moose, Kane, the other guys in that core of the 2014 and 2015 Royals, they went to play with other teams, even if they may retire a Kansas City Royal. I really think that Travis Kelce and Salvador Perez are the two from this generation that will start and end their careers with their respective franchises.
All right, this is a very interesting one, certainly better than the one that we got last week with the chicken wings. That was a disgraceful performance by Steven Spector. I wish, honestly, Rob, you had deleted it from the computer. Can we talk about Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes separate? Because I think they are two different things. I'm not meaning to put this in the atmosphere, but I could definitely see a Chris Jones Atlanta Falcons. That's where he plays his last couple of seasons. I mean, can't you see that? Can't you see in a couple of years when the Chiefs can get out of it, it's tough, but Chris Jones plays one, maybe 2 years with the New Orleans Saints and then signs the one-day contract to retire with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then that's the end of his career. I mean, that's the most obvious thing I think that you could potentially see on the board. I mean, there's been a lot of Chiefs greats. I mean, Jamal Charles went to go play for another team. Derek Johnson went to go play for another team. Like, we could just find too many of these examples, not just in Kansas City, but elsewhere, that is a very likely outcome of Chris Jones, that maybe you got two more years of Chris Jones this year and next year. And then after the end of the 2026-27 season, when the Chiefs could save $20 million by cutting Chris Jones, either they're going to restructure him or that's when Chris Jones goes to play for another team. So I've already got my mind to that place of seeing Chris Jones finish out his career with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That seems like a no-brainer to me.
So I agree with you on Jones, and I agree with Spec on Kelce and Perez. Here's where me and Spec see it differently. I think Patrick Mahomes is a one and done. I think Patrick Mahomes is Kansas City only. Now, I get his point. Rodgers, Brady, Favre, the list goes, Manning, the list goes on. These guys were not one and done teams as quarterbacks, and they were all Hall of Famers, some of them first ballot Hall of Famers. But man, I get the sense, talking to Patrick Mahomes on this show every week, listening to his press conferences, and just being in the Patrick Mahomes business, he does not seem like the kind of person who wants to play football until he's 46 year old like Brady did. I don't get the sense he wants to play football until he's 41, 42, the way Aaron Rodgers is. So if I think Mahomes is going to hang it up at a more respectable time in his life, more like Elway did, it's hard for me to imagine him going to another team, because all the guys Spec mentioned were guys that probably, let's be honest, played football too long in their lives, and that's why they end up somewhere else. I don't know Pat's going to be that kind of guy in Kansas City.
Well, I think that is a very fair point, but, and this is obviously playing it down the road, you might have to play a while if you're trying to get to all of your goals. I think there's a chance that Patrick Mahomes has the most passing yards in the history of the league, has the most touchdown passes in the history of the league, and we certainly know he has a chance to get really close to Brady in Super Bowls. If you got five appearances by the time that you're 30, you got a chance. So you're right. Is Mahomes going to be somebody that plays until you're 40, or is he somebody that retires at 37, 38 years old? I would say that the current trend of quarterback is to play a little bit longer and not really cut itself short. So, Rob, I just pulled this up while you were talking because I was curious. So these are the top 10 most passing yards in the history of the league. I think you'd be surprised at how many of these guys played for multiple teams. Brady's number one by a long shot. We know Brady did. Breeze played for multiple teams. Peyton played for multiple teams. Favre and Rodgers. So out of the top five all time, all five of those guys went to go play for other teams. Now, number six has been Roethlisberger, only played for one team. I give Roethlisberger credit. Roethlisberger acknowledged that his career was winding down and just got out of the game. Roethlisberger probably could have played another year or two. Somebody would have gave Roethlisberger a check to come play for him. Roethlisberger just said, no, I'm out, and I'm going to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler. If you go through the rest of it, Rivers played for multiple teams, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, Dan Marino is there at number 10. I mean, what Spector is saying, the odds are certainly in the favor that Spector is right. Now, we got to see how things play itself out, but the odds are very much in his favor that when Patrick Mahomes is 39, 40 years old, just like most jobs, there is a younger, hipper, fresher quarterback, and Mahomes' time is over, and it's time for you to move out of the way and then let the young gun take your spot. That has been the history of the National Football League. So I don't ever want anybody to think that the Chiefs are too loyal to this person, because we've seen time and time again, teams don't think that way. If San Francisco can move on from Joe Montana, and New England can move on from Tom Brady, Kansas City could absolutely one day decide to move on from Patrick Mahomes. That is not outside the realm of possibility.
So on the text line brings to this point, and I don't have the comparison for those other guys at this point, but Mahomes is heavily invested in the city.
I mean, so was Peyton Manning, and then Peyton Manning went to go play for the Broncos.
I would tell you that Mahomes is more invested than Manning was. Like,
I don't know if that's the case. Peyton Manning got a children's hospital in Indianapolis.
I'm not trying to compare, but like, Mahomes has the restaurant. He has three pro franchises he owns. He has the charity. Like, I'm not diminishing Peyton Manning's children's hospital. Don't get me wrong. That's a incredible thing he did in Indianapolis, but it was one entity. Mahomes has a little bit of money and a lot of different things in Kansas City. Like, divested? Is that the term the stock market types use? He's that way in Kansas City, but it's all Kansas City based. I And maybe Kansas City wouldn't care. Maybe he leaves at 40 years old and goes plays 1 year for the Vikings. And Chiefs fans are like, I don't care that you're a Viking, your best year here. I don't know. But it feels like he's so invested in Kansas City, it would feel odd for him to walk away from that because of all the money he's put into the community.
Let me ask you this, and we can move on because we got Michael Swain about to call in. Do you think this will be a Mahomes decision or a Chiefs decision in this hypothetical? Because it's a good question. What Spectre is saying, I think there's only two lifelong Kansas Cityans. Kelce, I think we know at this point Travis Kelce is not going to play for another team. I think Salvador Perez. I think Salvador Perez's contract at the end of this, I think he is retiring a member of the Kansas City Royals. Do you think that decision, because I'm guessing that Tom Brady wanted to finish his career in New England. At one point, it became a decision that we don't want you here anymore, and New England was ready to move on. I think that Peyton Manning wanted to stay in Indianapolis. No, we got a chance to go get Andrew Luck, and we are moving on. I think a lot of times what happens is it is not the athlete's decision on what they want to do. The organization is the one that tells you it is time for you to move on. I think Michael Jordan wanted to continue to play for the Chicago Bulls. Hey, I'm only coming back if Phil Jackson is coming back. We don't care. We're not bringing back Phil Jackson. A lot of time, it is the organization that makes the decision of your time is up and not the player.
So I don't want to size up your question because it's a fair question. I think the age really matters. Because Brady was, what, 41 when he left New England? He was after 40 years old. I understand why the Patriots are like, hey, we can't just a 40-year-old quarterback. Aaron Rodgers was, what, 37, 38? A little bit younger, but I understand why they made their decision the time they made it too. Like, if Patrick Mahomes decides to retire at 35, I think that will be him making the decision. But if he plays to 38, 39, 40, then I think it'll go the same way those other teams went, where the team is going to have to say, hey, we love you. We're going to build a statue of you one day. You are forever the greatest member of this organization, but a 40-year-old quarterback is not in the best interest of our organization. I think his age really matters in this conversation of who eventually breaks up with who.
Coming up on the other side, we're going to head to Lawrence, Kansas. KU has a big weekend coming up. They have a road game at North Carolina coming up tomorrow night. And on Saturday, they go on the road to play Arizona. KU football only needs one game, and they will go to a bowl game for three times out of the last four seasons. We'll be joined by Michael Swain next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We are happy to head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Michael Swain, who works with 24/7 Sports covering the Kansas Jayhawks. They go on the road to play North Carolina on Friday. They go on the road to play Arizona in football on Saturday. So the analogy I used a couple of days ago came from a documentary, the documentary Pony Excess on ESPN. They were telling the story of when one of the coaches saw Eric Dickerson play for the first time. So they drove out to a high school practice and said, I'm not going to tell you who we're here for, but I want you to point out who you think. After about 30 seconds, they pointed at Eric Dickerson. I made that analogy because if I had told you that KU has the number one overall pick on their team and you didn't know anything about him, all you heard was the hype, and I told you to point to him, I think you could have pointed out Darren Peterson in the first 90 seconds of that game.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, it's one of those, you watch warm-ups, right? You can just tell he's got kind of that it factor. Man, he's such a special player, and I think what he's shown in basically one half of action in the two games he's played against high major teams, right? Think back to the Louisville exhibition and then obviously what he showed against, you know, Green Bay. Like, it's one of those where you just see that he's why there's all the hype. You know, the three-point shooting is going to come and go, but, man, you just watch him move. You watch him cut, create his own shot. Like, you can go back to the Green Bay game on Monday. You go end of the first half. Everyone in Allen Fieldhouse, everyone watching the game on ESPN+, you knew Darren was taking the last shot at the end of the first half. The guy guarding him knew he was taking the shot. It didn't matter, right? Gets the elbow, pulls up. It's just good. And so, you know, you just see the talent that he has. And it's one of those where I'm most excited to watch a game like Carolina where they're going to force him to do a lot, right? And I'm really interested to see how he handles all of that responsibility, because I think so far we've seen him act as a scorer, right? You watch against Louisville, you watch against, you know, Green Bay, and what he does putting the ball in the basket. Well, I'll tell you what, Carolina's going to really try and make him be a playmaker, I bet, and see how he handles how they're going to, you know, what they blitz or whatever they do with the pick and roll coverage. And that's going to be the most exciting part, is seeing a guy as talented as Darren deal with the different challenges that teams throw at him. And so, again, first time I really think that, you know, he's going to be in the high-pressure road environment. Sure, you know, on the road at Louisville in an exhibition, that wasn't a sold-out place. It's going to be a whiteout at Carolina. Like, that is up there for one of the toughest atmospheres and one of the coolest atmospheres that anyone can play in. And, man, I'm excited to watch Darren go to work and see what he can do.
The best compliment I think you can get as a basketball player is that you make things look easy. And he certainly has made it look easy so far in the first two games that we got a chance to see him play. A lot of people have already thrown that best freshman label of the Bill Self era on him, and we don't have a whole lot of evidence. You've seen him very closely. Are you ready to call him that, or do you need to see more?
Well, of course I'd love to see more, but, man. So I think the thing with Wiggins, right, you can look at some of his peak performances. Wiggins at his best, I mean, he could do it all. For me, what I think makes Darren so good is the fact that I think he's going to be much more consistent in impacting the game than Wiggins. Because obviously, right, you remember the Wiggins team, like, he was on the wing. He still needed the point guard to help him out. Like, Darren's the point guard. The ball will be in his hands 70% of the time when he's on the floor. He's going to have the chance to make a greater impact consistently than maybe someone like Wiggins was, or, you know, if you want to talk about Joel and what he's able to do, even though talent-wise he was there, but not necessarily in terms of impact. I think that by the end of the season, it's going to be pretty clear that he's the best freshman, right, KU's ever had, and maybe the most talented player Cave's had under Self. Obviously, you can go to, you know, Mario Chalmers and Sean Collins and what they were able to do. But in terms of just raw basketball talent, man, I think Darren's going to be up there by the time the season's over.
Right now, we're talking to Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Michael, for KU fans that only know two players, Darren Peterson and Florey Badunga, because he was on the team last year, give KU fans some other names to watch, because there's going to be a group of KU fans that tomorrow is going to be their first time watching them.
Yeah, for sure. I think Melvin Council is going to be one KU fans are really, really going to like. And for the long-tenured fans who can remember Tyshawn Taylor, you know, it's so weird now where I'm saying, like, oh, yeah, if you remember Tyshawn Taylor, it was 13 years ago. Like, it's been a while. But, man, Melvin Council, like, he is going to remind you so much of Tyshawn. The athleticism, the speed, the intensity that he plays at, I think he's the perfect guy to have next to Darren Peterson, where, you know, if you look last year at St. Bonaventure, right, where Melvin Council played, he played 40 minutes a bunch. Like, he never left the floor. And he's going to be a really steady presence in the backcourt next to Darren. And he's going to be a guy that isn't going to shoot a lot of threes, but, man, he's going to attack the basket. He's going to create a lot for others. He needs to be able to take some pressure off of Darren. Obviously, at the four, you got Trey White, transfer from Illinois. He's going to fit more of your Jalen Wilson mold of the four, not so much your KJ Adams or your too big look. You know, 6'7", his three-point percentage has improved year over year. You're looking at him potentially, if you can get 33% out of him this year from deep, that's really good. He's got to play to his size against Carolina. Carolina's going to start, you know, three guys who are 6'10 and above. So he's going to have to play big against Carolina. And then in the starting lineup, you know, Cole Rosario is a guy that's had a little bit of a slow start. He's a true freshman from Miami, played overtime elite, enrolled early, reclassed up to be with KU. He can really shoot the ball. He's a super athletic player. He's just got to slow down. And Bill Self talked about it when we talked to him this week. You know, Cole has played way too fast to start because he's excited. He wants to go make plays. He's just got to take a deep breath, let the game come to him. And when he does, I think he's going to be one of the best shooters on the team behind Darren.
I'm not used to looking at bracketology and seeing KU with the six by their name. Right now, Joe Lunardi has KU as a six seed. So if I set the over-under right now, let's say it's at 4.5. I know it's early in the season. Their best players are freshmen. We'll learn more about this KU team. If I say 4.5, do you think they'll do better or worse than that seed in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, I think better, and I feel pretty confident in saying that. I think this is a team that, because of the way the last couple years have gone, because of the way the last 2 years are going to impact all the analytics, right, the KenPom and stuff going in this year, it's going to make KU look like a you know, high teens, low 20s team going into the year. I think this is a top 15-ish team. And they could lose to Carolina, and that could definitely happen. But I think that by the time we get to March, this is a team that's going to be in the top 15, potentially top 10 if everything goes well. If, like, Bryson Tiller turns into an NBA draft pick that, you know, you're expecting, if Cole Rosario shoots 40% from three or something like this team's ceiling, I think, can easily get up onto that kind of one or two line. It's just a question of what's the range of outcomes. But I do think right now KU as a team, looking at the rest of the season, is going to be a little bit underrated just based on the fact that, you know, it's Darren, Florey, and who else, like you're saying, and people are going to look at the last couple of years and I think draw conclusions based off that. So I think it's one of those where this team, the fact that I think it knows what its identity is really going to allow it to have a successful season. And granted, I say that, and they could lose Carolina tonight, and you know, you guys can come back and say, oh, well, Michael, are you sure? I'd still say yes. I think by the time they figure this out, it's a team that I think I take the over in terms of seeding. So whatever you want to say, a 3-2, 4-1, I think that's much more likely.
Right now, we're talking to Michael Swain here for a couple more minutes. He covers the Kansas Jayhawks. They got a big weekend, North Carolina in basketball on Friday, on the road against Arizona in football on Saturday. Michael, let's transition to the football team. Maybe this is just my social media feed, but I'm getting a sense that fans are getting a little bit restless with Lance Leipold. I'm getting a sense that fans just want more, that they feel like they're kind of stuck in that 5-6 range, but they feel like they should be in that 7 or 8 range. Is that the sense that you're getting from KU fans right now and their relationship with their head coach?
I do, honestly. And I think that the trend line is, I think, what has people concerned. You know, the hardest position to figure out in college football is quarterback, right? I think that's a pretty easy statement, not breaking any news. Well, Kansas has a quarterback, right? Jalen Daniels, for much of this season, you know, was graded in the top 10 in PFF. Now he's kind of 25th because he's had a couple rough games. But KU has the quarterback, And it's a team that just cannot get over the hump, right? Last year, you can look at, you know, the Jeff Grimes hire and what went wrong there, and then defensively being inconsistent. Well, then, you know, KU this year, well, the defense has been even more wildly inconsistent. And I think the way rivalry games are always going to determine a fan's perspective on a season. And it's understandable, right? That's what makes college football great, is the rivalries. Well, you look at KU blowing a fourth quarter lead at Missouri. You look at KU being wholly uncompetitive off a bye week at home against K-State. That's going to influence your thinking. And then you've got all the other stuff, right? Losing by 25 at Texas Tech. Again, 25-point loss to K-State. KU has been a competitive football program under Leipold. He's done such an incredible job of taking KU from being a doormat to being a team that fans can be pissed when 5-7 seems like the lowest ceiling for this year's team. But it's all about the next step. You can look at the 9-win season back in 2023. KU has not built off that. And there has been plenty of money that's been poured into the football program. Right? You can look at the stadium. You can look at all the facilities. You can even look at paying your quarterback top money, right? Jalen is a well-paid quarterback. KU brought out the boat to pay him. And you look at all of this commitment, and I think fans are saying, well, we've put in the money. Where are the results? And I think that's a perfectly fair question to ask, because you can look at the coordinator hires, right? Jeff Grimes struggling last year. The defense has not been good under DK McDonald this year. KU's every week gets something different. Some games teams are throwing on KU and throwing it deep with a lot of success. Sometimes teams are just running the ball down KU's throat. Each week it's something different. And I think you can look at the coordinator hires and be a little, it leaves some room for improvement and much to be desired. And so I understand where fans are coming from. It's why a game this weekend is so big against Arizona. Can you get back to the bowl game? Right, that's just a starting point where KU could use those extra bowl practices for a younger team that's developing.
Last thing here, KU fans can never really answer this question for me, and maybe you can. What program do KU fans feel like they should be? Like, if you could just start over and just say, hey, I'm looking at this program, whether it's Wisconsin or Iowa State, what program do you think KU should model themselves after?
Well, I think it's the Iowa State model, right? Because Iowa State does not have the best resources in the Big 12, right? But they consistently find ways to do more with less in terms of those financial resources. Kansas football is going to be at a disadvantage in the revenue sharing era because of the fact the basketball program is so dominant. Money is going to go proportionally more to basketball than football compared to other schools. So the Iowa State model for me is what I look at. Hey, they figured out a quarterback. They find a way to go find diamonds in the rough and develop those guys. And I think if you look at them and the way their cycles have worked, right, you look at the Brock Purdy years where they were really good. They went to a Big 12 title game. They had a down year, but then they had everything bottomed out, and I believe it was in 2022 or 2023. I can't remember. But then they built it back up where then they're going to get a big senior class, and then those guys are going to leave, and then it's going to fall down again. So I think for KU, it's a question of what does that progression look like? Is it, you know, a 4-8 season followed by a 7-5 followed by a 9-3, and then maybe you're competing for a Big 12 title and then you kind of have to recycle again? I think that is something that is feasible for Kansas. They've got the money put into the stadium. That infrastructure is really going to help. Recruiting wise, they're located right next to Kansas City, which year in and year out is producing power four talent. It's just one of those where I think for KU, I understand where fans want to compete for Big 12 titles every year. That's not going to happen. Texas Tech's got more money. You've got teams like Utah and Baylor that are going to consistently put more money into football than Kansas is going to be able to. So how do you do more with less? That's the question for Kansas football. And I think it's going to be much more cyclical than consistently competing at the top level, just as a result of the financial situation KU's going to be in.
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. He's got a busy weekend covering the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. They got North Carolina in basketball on Friday. They got Arizona in football on Saturday. Now, I will tell you this, Michael. I will be glued into the basketball game. I don't know if I got to watch any more KU football for the rest of the season. I'll just let you watch it for me.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, check out fog.net and you get all your coverage there.
Absolutely. That's our guy, Michael Swain, joining us on the show. Rob, if only one team could win this weekend, is it more important for Kansas football to win or Kansas basketball to win? I only bring that up because KU has to win one of these games to go to a bowl game. They got to win one of these games, and I know you want them to go to a bowl game. You can press the button right now. You can pick which team wins, the basketball team or the football team. Which team do you want to win this weekend?
Now, the phrasing on that question is important here. You said which is more important, not which would I rather have happen, because it's far more important the football program win. Like, when it comes to importance, it's the football program. If KU loses to North Carolina, they're not getting punished in March. No one on this selection is going to be like, oh, in the second game of the season, Kansas went down to Chapel Hill and got beat. Should they now be downgraded to seed line? No, no one says that. This game is largely just for television and fun fodder, the same way the Champions Classic is.
If you guys Kansas lose this football, game, are you making a bowl game?
Maybe not.
Because you got on the road against Iowa State and you got home against Utah, and Utah's in the playoff picture.
So Utah's beating Kansas. Like,
I'm with you. That's what I'm saying. This is the feet, to quote you.
They're going to put it on Kansas.
This is the most likely game you win if 100%. You're making a bowl game this year.
This is the answer. The question was most important. Yes, it's more important.
You're pressing it for the basketball team, though, wouldn't you?
Football. Football's got to win this weekend.
What do you think the average KU fan would say?
Basketball.
Even though a loss on the road at North Carolina on November 7th means absolutely nothing.
Average fan would say basketball. Average fan, I think, right now is a little turned off the football program after the K-State game. I think they're a little sour. It was bad. It was real bad.
It wasn't good.
It was real bad.
I mean, making a bowl game and going to a bowl game for three times in four seasons, I mean, that's only happened one other time in school history.
And Michael Swain pointed out there in the interview, KU isn't a senior-laden, super veteran team. You know what's really important? Extra practice on the football field. Like, you could argue one of the reasons why they've struggled this season is because they didn't get extra practice last year when they fell short. So, yeah, more important, Kansas needs to go to a bowl game more than they need to beat North Carolina in a game that doesn't matter.
So I was thinking about you today as I was getting ready for the show because you brought to me some news that the Royals would be interested in Alex Bregman. So I was like, okay, well, let me do a little bit more reading. Let me do a little bit more research in Alex Bregman. So I was typing it up. And then, well, what do I know? I get an email from The Athletic, and they have their top 50 Major League Baseball free agents, and then ESPN does the exact same thing. So I was like, you know what? What do the experts think that he is going to get in terms of a contract? Because I don't know what Alex Bregman is worth. I have no clue what he's worth. I got to lean on them. Do you know what ESPN has his contract projection at? 5 years, $160 million. You know what I determined right then at that point? Alex Bregman is not coming to play for the Royals. He's not coming to play for the Royals. He just got off a three-year, $120 million deal. He opted out after 1 year and looks like he's about to re-up and get a better contract. Let's go ahead and cross Alex Bregman off the Royals list. Are you ready to do that? Or are you still holding out hope that Alex Bregman's going to be playing third base for the Royals on opening day?
I mean, define hope, because I don't think they're going to get him, but I don't think I don't think the Royals have no shot.
You think they're signing that deal?
I don't want to sound like I'm putting a cape on for John Sherman, but this is not the David Glass era. Just 6 months, not even 6 months ago, 5 months ago, they dropped a heavy bag at Seth Lugo's feet. They gave Bobby Witt one of the most lucrative contracts in baseball, not in Royals history, although it was in Royals history, in baseball. What does John Sherman say all the time? He wants to invest in the team. Now, do I think he's going to drop $160 million at Alex Bregman's feet? Probably not. If you say no, the odds are forever in your favor. But I don't think it's a 0% chance. I think there is a chance, not high, but a chance that a premium free agent like a Bregman or a Bellinger gets a contract in Kansas City. I wouldn't bet it, but I don't think it's like plus 5,000. I think it's like a plus 800 parlay. You're probably going to miss, but you might hit. It's possible. That's how I feel about the Royals and a Bregman or Bellinger big money type of guy.
You know what I think the Royals are going to do? I think they're bringing back Mike Yastrzemski. Because I was looking at this same article, and you know what they had the contract projection for Mike Yastrzemski at? 1 year, $11 million. Now, I know the Royals. It doesn't sound like you know the Royals. But they're bringing back Mike Yastrzemski on a 1 year, $11 million deal. They can't really lose at that price. If he's healthy and he's the same player that he's been, he either helps you or at the deadline, you can just trade him and get the exact same prospects back that you gave up to get him in the first place. So Mike Yastrzemski coming back on a 1 year, $11 million deal, that seems like a no-brainer to me. I think they're bringing back Yastrzemski and they're going to do a platoon. I also think they're going to either package one of their starting pitching prospects one of their catching prospects, and that's how they're going to get their pitcher. Taking a closer look at the top 50 free agents in Major League Baseball, I just don't think that there's a very obvious fit for them from a financial standpoint that really fits what they're looking for. If you're looking for an impact bat, I just think it's outside of what the Royals usually spend for these kind of things, where you can probably find that player via trade. You're just going to have to give up something valuable as a starting pitcher.
I agree with you that trade is the more likely outcome for the Royals to add their bat. I 100% agree. I also think Mike Yastrzemski is a player that I would welcome back in Kansas City. He's not a cure-all to their problems. He's not a solution, but I would much rather go into 2026 being like, hey, pencil in Mike Yastrzemski every day in right field, and you feel pretty good about the team. But if they're going to do Mike Yastrzemski and they're going to take it, I'll call it on the cheaper side, it has to be Mike Yastrzemski plus. It can't just be Mike Yastrzemski. I also think you're right. I'm treating the Royals a little different than you are. You're saying, I don't know the Royals, and you do. The Royals' payroll has increased every year under John Sherman. Now, it's never made a monumental leap. It's not like it went 1 year from $30 million to $200. But in 2024, their payroll was like 118. Last year was like 130. Like they add payroll every year under John Sherman. So I don't think it's outlandish to believe they try to land one of the big fish. I also would say John Heyman doesn't just throw stuff against the wall, and he was the one connecting Bregman to the Royals. I still don't think it would happen, but I don't think it's impossible to believe it could happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I certainly would like to see them take a really big swing. I just don't think that they're going to take it, at least not in that regards. I'm looking at a couple of other names. I don't know if they're a name that just really, really jumps out. Like, I'm looking right now at it, and a lot of the outfielders, they're just kind of that third slash fourth outfielder platoon guy. I mean, Mike Yastrzemski, Michael A. Taylor is still available, Tommy Pham. Like, this just isn't a really great class, I would say, for that kind of second tier of outfielder. That top tier bat, there's a couple of those names, but those names usually get priced out of the Royals. And if the Royals are going to go shopping, at least in the free agent market, how I know them to go shopping, I think they'll be able to find somebody. I just don't think we're going to look at them as being an impact bat.
They're going to have to bat via trade, because I can't speak for every show on the station. I can only speak for this show. If their offseason includes adding back Mike Yastrzemski and signing Tommy Pham, I'll just use one of the guys that was on that list.
They get a D+.
They get a D+, and I'm not going to treat them like a playoff team in 2026. I'm not going to be in March being like, all right, you know, they can really do something if Vinny and Bob.
I do think they have to do a move that excites the fan base.
100%. They have. We talk about it with firing people all the time. You know, about the give the fan something. They have to give the fan something to get excited about. They have to give them a player that when you're at FanFest or whatever it's called now at Kauffman, you want to go see that player because he's a Royal. And it has to work out. This analogy is not great because it didn't work out. But remember when me and you were kids, they had a Juan Gonzalez? That was an exciting time.
For
now,
sure.
It blew up horribly in their face. But you add a player like that, a known commodity name, I think fans will be really bought into this team. It can't be Tommy Pham and Mike Yastrzemski, though. They can be part of it. They can't be all of it.
We got Binkley coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Coming up next, tonight is Thursday Night Football. Half of the AFC West is participating in Thursday Night Football. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
All right, we got a couple of news and notes to get to before Binkley joins us in the 4 o'clock hour. First up, our Thursday night two-leg parlays brought to you by our friends at Circa Sports. Sports betting the way that it should be. It's coming soon to Missouri with Circa Sports. Less than a month to go. You don't have too many more weekends where you got to get up and then you got to drive across state line to put your bets in. December 1st, it's right around the corner, my fellow Missourians. We are almost there. All right, let's talk about Thursday night football. Now, I do not believe the Raiders are winning today, but I do know that Thursday night football is just weird. It's different. Thursday night football is its own entity. Short week. And if you look at it, if you want to talk about a potential trap game or look ahead game, I mean, wouldn't that be this one for the Broncos? You got Kansas City coming up in your building on the 16th. You got this home game against the Raiders. We know we're going to win this. You feel like you can just roll up at the stadium and your B minus or C effort is enough to beat the Raiders, and they just make it more interesting than it needs to be. The Raiders have Brock Bowers back. They played fine last weekend. I'm just saying, I'm not automatically putting this one in the win column, not with how weird Thursday night football is. So something just to keep an eye on. For our two-leg parlay, you know what? I am going to take, give me R.J. Harvey anytime touchdown. That's what I'm going to take. I'm going to take R.J. Harvey. I like that Broncos run game. I'm going to take R.J. Harvey anytime touchdown. Rob, what are you taking for our two-leg parlay?
Okay, so me and you see this game a little differently. You're like, oh, weird stuff could happen.
Oh, you got the Broncos putting the beats on the Raiders tonight.
Putting the beats on the Raiders. The Raiders are bad. Also,
I mean, I don't think they're good either. I don't want you to think that I think that they're good. I just think that Thursday night football is weird.
They also, I mean, their best wide receiver got traded 2 days ago.
That's right.
Brock Bowers is awesome. Everyone likes watching Brock Bowers play football. Name their other target.
It also would be different if they were the home team as opposed to the road team.
They're going
kind of like the Giants earlier in the season.
They're going on the road. They're going to throw it to Jack Becht and Trey Tucker. No chance.
Jack Becht.
Just, it's going to be bad. So I like the Broncos minus the 8.5 tonight.
Oh, you got them. You got them smoking them.
I think it's going to be like 24-7. It's not going to be an appealing looking football game, but I got the Broncos cooking the Raiders. You parlay that with your R.J. Harvey touchdown, plus 416 over our friends at FanDuel. So yeah, you can make some real money if you think the Broncos are smoking the Raiders.
Yeah, tonight. I don't mind that, though. I don't mind that. R.J. Harvey touchdown and the Broncos do what they're supposed to do and take care of business. That's a two-leg parlay. Special shout-out to our friends over at Circa Sports. Did you guys know that today is National Basketball Day? Now, I don't know why they chose November 6th to be National Basketball Day, but here we are. Now, Rob, have I ever told you my He Got Game sequel idea? Have I ever told you this before?
I have not heard your He Got Game sequel conversation.
Okay, so this is what I would do. I would call the movie She Got Game, and you remember Jesus Shuttlesworth had a sister. In my movie, Jesus Shuttlesworth's sister Mary grows up to be a WNBA player, and she's been estranged from her father. So a very similar storyline that we had in the first one, but we can kind of modernize it, and we could find a current WNBA star that could play his daughter, Mary, She Got Game.
Are you bringing Denzel back?
Of course, you got to bring back Jake. I don't want to do this movie if we're not bringing back Jake.
I want to make sure Denzel is Ray Allen coming back?
Yeah, of course. Okay. I mean, what else is Ray Allen doing? His sister Mary, he's been supporting her. They haven't heard from his pops. The whole big state thing didn't really work out. That would be my idea. That would be my pitch if I went to Spike Lee on what I think the next movie should look like. Got a classic basketball movie. Because we had them in the 90s. Hoosiers is a classic basketball movie. Blue Chips is a classic basketball movie. When was the last time that we got a classic basketball movie?
Hustle's really good. I don't know if Hustle's a classic.
I do like Hustle.
I like Hustle a lot. I don't know if Hustle's a classic. So I'm going to go backwards from Hustle. If it's not Hustle, I don't know what it, I mean, I don't think Air by the Michael Jordan story counts.
That's I wouldn't even consider Air to be a basketball movie.
That doesn't count.
It's just
me.
A drama.
I wouldn't count that, so I'm going to move off that.
I like Air. I think Air was a good movie. It's not a basketball movie.
I actually thought Air was really well done.
I thought Air was very good.
There's no basketball played in the
not
movie.
Not at all.
Other than the clip,
not even a little bit.
Other than the clip of Michael Jordan, which is just a clip of him playing in the final
It's
four.
Not even about Michael Jordan. The movie's about Sonny Vaccaro.
His mom. Those are the main characters. And Phil Knight's a large character. So I guess my answer's gonna be Hustle, but I don't know you would put Hustle into the, you know, classic category. So a lot of people in the text line are saying Coach Carter.
That's what I was gonna say. I think the answer is Coach Carter. I think Coach Carter is the last classic basketball movie.
Is Coach Carter a classic, or do we like it because of our age? Came out when we were in high school.
I think that's the same thing for most of these. I think Coach Carter is still a very enjoyable movie. Like tonight, if you and your wife are sitting there laying down and she says, I want to watch Coach Carter, you are happy with that pick and you are very much entertained for the entire time, even though you've seen that movie at least 10 times. Coach Carter is maybe it's not a classic. It is a very rewatchable basketball movie, and it is definitely about basketball.
100%. I just don't know if it's a classic. Glory Road? If I'm not going to have the ones I mentioned earlier, Glory Road, perhaps? Is that?
I liked Glory Road.
Is that a classic?
You know what? I missed that Disney era where they were just, that's when we got Glory Road, mm-hmm. and we also got Miracle. I love Miracle.
And then that we got Invincible. That time.
You know, Invincible gets me emotional.
Gets you emotional. And then to start off that run, we got The Rookie, which isn't
that's what I'm
bad
saying.
They
had a good run there for a while. I don't know why Disney stopped making these kind of movies. Let's go back to the Disney sports movie. That's what we need more of. All right, I have another movie idea since we are doing this for National Basketball Day. This is it. Why don't we update Blue Chips? Now, I don't think Blue Chips works in the theater in 2025 or 2026. Like, I don't think people are going to the movie theater to see this movie. But you were telling me right now that you wouldn't watch an Amazon Prime remake of Blue Chips. I mean, that movie is perfect for the NIL era. That's basically what the movie is about. And think about all the different basketball players and cameos. I love Blue Chips. I actually don't know if there is a more realistic, well-done sports movie than Blue Chips. The basketball is real. They got real coaches. There's real drama. There's the shady booster in the background. There's trying to get this kid eligible. I love the movie Blue Chips. I would love a Netflix original, Amazon Video original remake of Blue Chips. Can we make that happen?
I'm going to say something that you're going to think is very unpopular. Is a remake of Blue Chips interesting? Because it's just a movie about recruiting. Like, that's at the time, it was interesting because it was like, oh, all this dark, seedy stuff happens. Can you believe it? He, you know, he gives the one guy that on the farm the tractor.
Like, why can't it be about the transfer portal?
Because we know how that works. It's shady, but we all know about the shadiness. This movie was interesting because we didn't know about it.
Nah, we knew how shady recruiting was back then. You telling me we didn't know? We got a whole documentary about how nasty college football was in the 80s. We knew in the 90s that they were dropping the briefcase off, that they were dropping the duffel bags off with cash. If they made a movie, a modern movie about the transfer portal, because I don't think we want to know how nasty the transfer portal is. I don't think you want to know how many people are like, I bet Flory's recruitment story of those 2 weeks is a documentary within itself. I bet Flory was being I bet the amount of money and offers and promises that Flory, because you remember Flory decommitted for a while. Everybody thought he was going to Auburn. Now, certainly made the right decision. Their head coach just up and left right before the season started. And then Flory recommitted to Kansas. I don't think you want to know what happened those 2 weeks in Flory's life. That needs to be a movie right then and there. That's Blue Chips for 2025. You also got Tony, who's failing TV. He's a dummy. That's what Tony is. And remember, you had the whole shaving points. Tell me that's not a worthwhile story in 2025. A college basketball player shaving points? For a booster? That movie works in 2025. Coming up on the other side, we're going to continue talking about the National Football League. You know what? Nate Taylor, friend of the show, he confirmed the Breece Hall news. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.